Joan, yeah, you can take me off the open mic list. Thanks. I was thinking, imagine if Kanye West were a poet. You know, he'd be up here reading, and then he'd want to be the first guy at the open mic. You know, wouldn't that be?
You are the Kanye of poetry, Steve.
Thank you. Thank you. That one was for people under 40. Normally my jokes are for people over 40, so thank you, Carla and David, for getting that. I want to thank these guys, you know, who come here every week and listen. I want to thank Jimmy and Joan and Michael, who make poetry possible. There's a beautiful quote at the beginning of E.E. Cummings' 1926 volume, Is Five, where he says, and I quote, "It is with roses and locomotives, not to mention acrobats, spring, electricity, Coney Island, the 4th of July, the eyes of mice and Niagara Falls, that my poems are competing." And there's a lot in culture today that we're competing with just to read poetry. I mean, we can all be home watching American Idolatry or whatever that show is. And so the fact that you guys make this possible every night, I really want to thank you for that. It's a great thing. So my first poem, actually, I was just going to talk about poetry all night. But no, okay. Because I could. It's called Moonshot. She had bought that dilapidated boat mostly as an excuse to throw parties in her dock slip. Stepping on board felt like stepping onto another planet. We drank so much that night, the salt air tonic to the rum tonic to the small stabs of lust crawling through our guts and into our throats. The air started to sing before my eyes, but nobody else saw it. Nobody else could see the boat rocking with the music from some cheap stereo below deck, the bumpers fouled in slicks of oil, and there above the horizon growing like a baby dinosaur came the light. Later, when everyone had left for the dock bars, I could see each hair stuck to her neck with the salt of the ocean and the salt of her sex glowing and the boat clopping against the dock in that strange yellow light, the bottle in my left hand as I held the scruff of her neck with the other, drawing her in like a greedy moth sucking up the moon, trying to steal as much paradise as it can before it explodes. And now for something completely different, the history of silence. In the early days, the gods tried to speak to human beings by shaping the clouds. It was all they could think of after the beings no longer heard their voices carried by the waves and through the wind. The gods were surprised when this didn't work and displeased because they were now forced to contort the stars, which required much more effort to do. The beings, pleased with their own inventions of light, stopped looking up and began to create new gods who were much easier to understand. Birds, serpents, and even cats became the focus of their worship until one day, when they had grown so lazy, they decided to invent a new god in human form and be done with it once and for all. If anyone objected, they were simply burned at the stake until no one bothered to listen to heaven anymore. This is called Ancient History. Each night, it gets tougher and tougher to fall asleep. Not because I miss her, but because my soul is rushing back to fill the cavity of loneliness carved out when she was here, like the lava ghosts of Pompeii. This is called Exactly. You can break off a piece of God and try to take it with you, like the rich kid I once saw try to pick up a campfire and move it. He was shocked when it burned him. We all had to laugh. Again and again, we belittle belief with judgment, thinking we know something and can carry it to others. I once heard a man curse a wedding because they didn't read scripture. He laughed like the devil. A great poet once said, "We all die in definitions, kind of like hell, which dances in delight to our specificity." I just want to point out it's not easy ending a poem with the word specificity. You have to practice it a lot. Pausing on a busy day. What I like best about Bukowski are the moments, and the best part of clocks is the sound of each tick, which if you listen, no two are the same. We tend to look back at our moments as stages or phases or lessons, but really they are not these. They are what the holy men and the grandmothers see when they look at us, but we never see. Not a flock of birds swooping past, but the path of just one, the one that matters, like a flash of lightning that shows us how dark the sky really is. Last one. And I'll end with this. This was not written here in Pittsburgh. I was visiting several years ago from Boston, and this is called To the Hippie Chicks of Whole Foods Pittsburgh. All of you are so wonderful. You dress like 1979, but are as beautiful as 1968. Smiling and nodding without artifice, joking, laughing, and engaging without fear. Even your tattoos are simple, honest acts. Someday, you will all be glorious mothers and make your dudes happy. But in the meantime, thank you for showing me where the fresh ground organic peanut butter was hiding. Thank you. And now Jimmy Savitic.